There are two basic movements in the life of a disciple, and the first one is often referred to as our conversion or God transforming us, and the second one is then God sending us out, and we're inviting others to be transformed as well. Because disciples don't just know Jesus, haven't just experienced God's goodness, disciples also go and make disciples of all nations, as Jesus, that's the mission he gave us. And so we as a church, as a community of missionary disciples, that's what we are, and are called to be, are actually called first to encounter God very profoundly as he wills it, as he does it, and then to go out and invite others. Then to go out and make disciples, Jesus says, of all nations, including these United States of America, and Pinckney, everywhere, or wherever else you may be or be going. These two movements, the first one we see in the first reading. Isaiah has this experience, this really powerful experience of God's presence. And he comes into the presence of God, and these angels are worshiping God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." Their praise is shaking the doors of this temple. And Isaiah says, "Awesome, I'm so glad I'm here. This is going to be great." Actually, he says, "Woe is me, I am doomed. For I am a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm a sinner, and I've come into the presence of someone that is so holy and good." And he has this profound experience of God's holiness and his own sinfulness. Peter has the same thing in the boat. Peter says, when he sees Jesus catch all these fish, he realizes this is not an ordinary man. He's not just a really wise rabbi or something. And he says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." But Jesus does not depart. He does not ask Peter to depart. And here, Isaiah is not sent out of God's presence. Rather, instead of God saying, "Yeah, Isaiah, you should probably get out of here. I don't know why you walked into my presence, so get the heck out." No, actually, Isaiah is purified. The coal is touched to his lips, and he's purified. God transforms Isaiah. So Isaiah has this powerful encounter, after which he is not the same as he was before. We see the same with Peter. Before and including the time of Jesus on the cross, Peter is... he has faith, yes, but he is also living his faith in a very fearful way. He won't live it totally openly. When people ask at the crucifixion, "You're a Galilean, you're one of his followers," Peter denies it. Because he's okay being a Christian sometimes, but he isn't fearless yet. And is not okay being a Christian totally openly all the time. Does not want to be associated with Jesus completely all the time, because that is... I mean, because it could have meant death, actually, in this case. And it would have meant something very uncomfortable, no matter what happened. And he goes from that to after Pentecost, receiving the Holy Spirit, and going out and preaching the gospel in the streets. On Pentecost, Peter's preaching converts 3,000 people. He ends up even giving his life on, he ends up being crucified to bear witness to Jesus. So there's this transformation that happens with Isaiah and with Peter, that after they receive this profound, more profound experience of the Lord, they don't have this fear. And that doesn't necessarily mean that for all of us it's just one event or one moment. There's this movement of God transforming us. In the second episode of the Wild Goose video series, that, by the way, the first episode was good, but the second episode was where I realized, oh, this is good. This is going to be good. The second episode was great, where Father Dave talked about the early church in the catacombs, and they would pray underground. They would hide out in these tombs underground. Their faith was alive, it was real, but it wasn't fearless. And God was calling them out of that cold, dark confinement to not just live their faith in one place, but to go into openly into Rome and to live their faith there, which did mean persecution. And a lot of times in the early church, not constantly all the time, but at a lot of different times. And one of the, during this second episode of the Wild Goose, this bishop, Sam Jacobs from Louisiana, he talked about having been a priest for 5 years, and then he had this experience, this realization of, there's something missing in my life. Like, there's just something that's not supposed to be there. And I don't know if that sounds odd to hear a priest saying that. To me, it doesn't sound odd at all, because there are times where we allow our faith to be compartmentalized and to be kind of comfortable in routine. Not that there's anything wrong inherently with routine. Actually, that sometimes is how we pursue excellence. But the Lord is clearly calling us into some things that are a little bit unfamiliar. We see that in the gospel. We see this second movement, and that's after receiving this transformation experience, God sending us out to go and make disciples, to witness to our faith, to serve people. And this might involve people knowing that you're a Catholic that don't know it yet. Maybe they just don't even know it. And we see an analogy for that in the gospel. Every time Jesus talks about fishing with Peter, it's not about fishing. And as he says at the end, I will make you fishers of men. You'll be bringing people to me. So Jesus catching a whole bunch of fish is not so that Peter can become like the world's most amazing fisherman. If so, our faith would be so very different than what it is. It's so that he will realize, oh my goodness, first of all, this is God. I'm in the presence of God. But also, it's an analogy. Jesus is sending me out to go and make disciples. He doesn't know all of that yet, but that's what it means. That's what this analogy is. And so I think that it's easy for us to look at this and say, as at the beginning of the story, Jesus is standing in Peter's boat. He gets into Peter's boat, okay? And they're by the shore, they're in shallow water, and they're preaching to all these people on the shore. Well, Jesus is preaching to all these people on the shore and saying all these things about the kingdom of God. And Peter is happy and content, I think, to have Jesus do that. When Jesus says, let's set out into deep water, did Peter want to do that? I don't think so. Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch. Simon said in reply, Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. He wants to go home. He's tired. He's tired. He wants to go home. Jesus, thanks for sitting in my boat. I want to go home now. Can you get out? But he says, but at your command, I will lower the nets. I sense almost like an exasperation, like, Lord, I've already tried this, and it didn't work. And now you want me to do it again? It's not going to work this time either. I mean, okay, maybe that's just some of my conversation with the Lord. That's like half of my prayer life sometimes. Jesus wants actually Peter to set out into deep water. And the deep water, that's something new. It's something unfamiliar. And lower your nets for a catch. We're talking about evangelization. We're talking about going out and inviting people to know the love of God, to experience Jesus in their lives personally. And we're not inviting people. Like when we talk about evangelization, like I've said, and you probably heard this many times, but we're not inviting people to join our club. Yeah, do we want people in our parish? Absolutely, but the point is him. Him. If we've had that profound encounter with him, that's what we want. And really, we know, at least here and maybe here, this is what we all need, everybody in your life. We all need Jesus. And so, Peter goes out and they lower their nets for a catch. And sure enough, you know, it's a little different when Jesus is with you when you're doing something. When you try to do it on your own, it doesn't always have the same effect. But with Jesus in his boat, Peter is able to go out into deep water and catch as many fish as their nets are even able to hold. So what about for us? You know, are we willing to set out into deep water? Some of you are going to renew your marriage vows. Who's renewing your marriage vows? Okay. So in just a minute, you're going to come up here and renew your marriage vows. And when you, I don't know how you would describe your wedding, like the state of your maturity, knowledge, and what you knew was coming versus what actually was coming. But that's deep water. That's like, that's terrifying, hopefully, in a good way. Not in a like, oh, I'm not looking forward to this. No, like, I'm looking forward to this. There's a great desire for this. But I also know that this is kind of scary, because it's a lot unknown. It's an unknown thing. But it was really good that you were in deep water. And if you knew it, it was even better, because then you relied on Jesus more and more. And it's easier to rely on Jesus when we know we're in deep water. So we want to, just thinking about evangelizing and witnessing to the love of Jesus, allowing Jesus to stay in our boats. Because a lot of us, like me, I'm content to have Jesus stand in my boat and preach to people on Sunday. But maybe, like me, you also would then at the end of church on Sunday like Jesus to step out of your boat and go along the rest of your week. And, all right, Jesus, thanks for that sermon. I'll see you next Sunday. Cool. Let's keep it comfortable, Lord. Let's keep it comfortable. And Jesus, what if he, you know, like, if after letting Jesus step out of my boat, I just want to kind of stay in the shallow water along the coast. Everything safe, everything familiar. Let's not go out into the deep water, because that's unknown, and I don't think it's very comfortable. And I kind of stay in this comfort zone in my faith. And it's again, routine is not bad. Like I said, routine can really drive us to excellence, but the Lord, what if he today stands in your boat and says at the end of Mass, all right, I want to stay in your boat this week, all week long, and let's put out into deep water. Let's go into something unfamiliar that you've never even tried before. Or maybe you've tried it before and you feel like it's failed. Lord, we did this all night, didn't work. I want to set out into deep water with you. Will you let him? Will you let him stay in your boat this week? Will you go into deep water with the Lord and allow him to take you somewhere new? This is his great desire, is to dwell in us and work through us. And our relationship with the Lord also really deepens in those times. But he's calling us. He's calling you and he's calling me. And I would just like us to take a minute to ask the Lord to reveal to us how he would like us, like you, to set out into deep water in order to make disciples. How is he inviting you to bear witness to his love to other people?